Hey, and welcome to the Sluggard Beer Podcast. I'm here with Steven today, and we're going to try a couple beer for you.
I still don't like that name.
It doesn't matter. You didn't come up with a good name.
I didn't have time.
You knew we were going to do this.
Not today.
Well, the original name was taken, so we're
like
stuck
you said,
with the
Saturday next week. That's what I'm
we're thinking. Stuck with the Sluggard. Okay. All right, but today we're going to start out by trying a Pilsner, which is kind of unusual for us. It's Uncle Rick's Pilsner by Wicked Weed Brewing Company out of Asheville, North Carolina. You've been to Wicked Weed.
I've been to Wicked Weed a few times. Never met Uncle Rick.
No, I have an Uncle Rick. He also lives in North Carolina.
Does he make Pilsners?
No, he's not.
Does he like Pilsners?
He's not really that fun. But well,
just like a Pilsner.
Right. But we got this thing in a 12-ounce can. It has a neat graphic of like a lumberjack on it. Looks like.
It's yellow.
Yeah.
It's yellow with a lumberjack. And yeah. There was a deer on it.
There's a deer with a hop for a head. All right.
That's creative.
Here's how they describe it. Say, Pilsner is perfection, and perfection takes patience. After a lengthy and methodical fermentation, Uncle Rick emerges. What the fuck?
Emerges from what?
I don't want to know. We take the purest Blue Ridge Mountain water and combine it with German yeast, noble hops, and traditional Pilsner malts to brew our perfect Pilsner. For our friends and family, for sunny days and long nights, for celebrating, for relaxing, for Uncle Rick, we craft this beer for both the beer connoisseur and the connoisseur of life.
Uncle Rick sounds like the guy that shows up at a family reunion, gets drunk, and then goes and falls asleep quick.
Yeah, Uncle Rick sounds like he's that uncle that wants to take you down in the basement to play.
I would like to say that's a rather lengthy, detailed description for a Pilsner.
It is. They could have just said Blue Ridge Mountain Water, German yeast, noble hops.
Yes.
And I would have taken it.
We are one step above Coors. That's what it should say.
Now, Wicked Weed's one step above Coors.
Wicked Weed is.
Yeah.
That's some of their beers.
You're right. And for the price, this one was like $1.25 a can or something like that. So not as bad as some other Wicked Weed beer they make. Let's what do you think of the smell of this thing?
Smells like a Pilsner, but with just a little bit more hops, a little bit of banana, a little bit of clove. Kind of reminds me of a very diluted version of the Love.
It does have a little bit of an aroma like Star Hill's the Love. I get the noble hops they're talking about, though. Like the aroma, actually, it reminds me of old Sam Adams Noble Pils, which I hated.
Yes, I forgot about that beer.
Oh, you should have blocked it out. That was a bad beer.
We'll see. I did. I mean, that's they used to make good beer.
You know what?
I get
like crackers in it too. Like that dry, almost not. I don't want to say saltiness because it doesn't smell like it goes or anything like that.
No, I don't know if I get the crackers.
Well, it's pale piss yellow, just like you'd expect. Out of a Pilsner. You can read a book through it. If you sent it in for your analysis, they'd come back and just say you had diabetes.
If that's the color of your piss, you need to drink more water.
I need to drink more beer.
More beer.
Yeah.
Well, then you're spot on then.
I'm gonna go in for a sip.
All right, go in.
That's not a bad beer.
It really ain't.
Especially for an American Pilsner.
Yeah, as far as Pilsners go, that might be towards the top on my list.
I agree.
Of course, my list is rather short.
I agree. It's not a style I normally go to. That's actually why I brought it tonight. And I think it's because I like German Pilsners because they have more complex flavors, but they're a very hard style to get right. And so I salute anybody who tries to even make one, but this is pretty damn good.
If it's hard and it requires that much effort, why would you put that effort into a Pilsner?
I agree, but it's just such a light style. Any imperfection is going to come glaring through at you. And so they've done a really good job. I'm getting a little bit of that dry, crackery flavor I was smelling, actually, when I try it.
I can see that. It is a little dry.
Yeah. It reminds me like when I was little and I'd say I wanted a snack and my dad was like, well, you're only going to eat half of it, so I'm going to make one too. He would like, just put peanut butter on saltines and give it to me.
That would probably be a good pairing.
It really would. I think it would actually go well with that. It would either pair with that or your creepy uncle who wants you to sit on his lap even though you're 18 years old now.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's went back to his cave.
This is the kind of beer that uncle would drink.
I agree.
Yeah.
He would drink and then say he's a big craft beer fan. And this is the only style he's familiar with.
No, I'm not slamming Pilsners as not being craft beer, though.
I'm not either. I'm just saying that the people that say they like craft beer and actually don't like craft beer gravitate towards Pilsners.
I agree. And I like the people who always talk about how they're really into craft beer and they like ciders, Pilsners, and some pale ales. I agree. And
the session pale ales.
Yeah. Like my wife doesn't claim to be a craft beer lover, but she also knows what she likes, and she likes like Belgian beers and wheat beers. And she'll even go out of the norm more than most people who claim to really be into craft beer, because I don't believe there are bad beer. There are people making poor choices with the beer they're making. Let me put it that way.
Oh, I think there's bad beer. I think that there's bad breweries, I guess. Because usually there's a couple breweries I agree. Like.
But this is not one. I'm getting a little bit.
Wicked Weed's awesome.
I'm getting a little bit of a metallic taste on my second drink. Try it again. Well, yeah, maybe it's just coming from the can. But I've got a slight metallic finish here.
I think it's more lemon to me. Yeah. What's the ABV on this?
That would be an excellent thing to be able to tell people. 5.1. And so that's about where I'd want it, too. If I'm going to drink a Pilsner, it better be at least 5.
Yes, this is good, like beach beer.
It is.
Weather, yeah. Mowing.
Mowing, fishing.
Yeah, fishing.
I could do something like that. Well, what do you think? Would you buy it again?
Actually, if the price was right, I would buy it. But my big thing on Pilsners is if this is like $8 a six pack, and then there's something like an IPA right beside it for the same price, I'm going to go for the IPA.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Because, if you're looking for like a lawn mowing beer, you could get a good pale ale.
Oh, yeah.
And mow your lawn all day.
Definitely.
So, I'd say, I'm glad we tried it just to show that it was a good Pilsner. I don't know if I'd try it again.
I mean, the can, I'd probably gravitate to the can sooner or later again because it was a pretty cool can.
Yeah, I can go with that. All right, one down. Hey, let's drink another beer.
That sounds good to me. Let's drink something a little bit heavier.
I agree. Let's go with the Uinta Brewing Company out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Stomping Grounds Coffee Stout. All right. Brewed with Public Coffee. I'm assuming that's a place out in Utah.
Is this one of the older breweries that the Mormons made?
I was going to say, I've never had many Mormon beers.
No.
Since they don't drink alcohol.
Oh.
You ever seen Burn After Reading?
I have not.
Where they say like he has a drinking problem. He's like, you're a fucking Mormon. Compared to you, everybody has a drinking problem.
That's a valid point. How does a brewery like this even profit out that way?
I don't know. There's that other one that makes Polygamy Porter out that way.
Oh, that's a nice name.
And they said they've run into some trouble with some different groups out there.
I'd say so too. And actually, this is no joke, right behind the beer is the Book of Mormon. It is sitting on that table.
You are not kidding. I got to ask why you have a Book of Mormon.
They come by a week ago, and they woke me up. I was working midnight, and I said, do you have any reading material? I didn't want to be rude. And they gave me the reading material because my next-door neighbor, he's Mormon, so I don't want to be rude.
And you're also racist, and so are they, so it works. All right, let's hear about the beer.
Sounds good.
You like that segue?
Yes.
All right. A robust American-style stout brewed with coffee stomping grounds is flavorful and aromatic. A full-bodied brew with bold malt character combines with a perfectly roasted coffee to create a harmonious blend. All right. What do you get when you smell it?
Sourdough bread and coffee. Kind of reminds me of breakfast, except you didn't toast the sourdough bread and there's not butter on it.
You're right. It is sourdough bread, though. I mean, this is a pitch black stout. It's not as thick looking as you'd think, because I like my stouts that you can eat with a fork.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I like them. The thicker, the better.
Just smelling this.
I like my men.
Just smelling this. A fried bologna sandwich. Sourdough bread, bologna, fried.
I say in French toast. Sourdough French toast. Oh,
too sweet for me.
I'm not a coffee fan either, so that might be why I'm going sweet after that.
Oh, I gotta have my coffee. That's what I'm drinking this.
Oh, it does smell good though. What do you get on there?
I get a lot more chocolate than what I thought. The coffee is almost like an aftertaste. A lot of chocolate.
You're right. It's not a blaring in your face kind of coffee. And a lot of coffee beer, like a lot of people just pour coffee, like cold brew coffee, in after the wort's already done. And it gives you a really in-your-face coffee flavor for like the first 4 months.
A little bitter too.
Yeah. This, I think, is actually brewed with coffee beans. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely off base. I'm full of shit.
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, this malt bill is hefty, though. You're right. There's a lot of chocolate malt in there to round it out. The mouthfeel's still not that heavy, though. It's a pretty light stout.
That's true. I could drink a couple of these probably.
Yeah. What we say this was 8%, 8.1? 8.3. You are correct.
So it's not light. It's not a light ABV.
The bottle says it goes well with anywhere. Pretty good slogan. Might be a brewery slogan. I don't know. But yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I mean, we're stout people anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, both in size and taste.
That's true.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think stout is what really got us into craft beer anyway. I mean, there were other beer we tried beforehand, but like for me, it wasn't until I got my hands on some good stouts.
Especially barrel-aged stout. God, they're so good.
I'm okay with barrel-aged stouts, but honestly, over the years, there's like really good ones and pretty good ones, and I've had so many of the pretty good ones, I'm almost tired of looking for the really good ones.
That's very true.
So I'm fine with this kind of beer. This doesn't need barrel aging.
I agree.
This beer's great as it is.
It is. I would definitely drink more of this beer, and I don't remember exactly what the price was. I think it was like $12 or $13 for the bottle. I'd buy it again.
I think it's worth every penny of that.
I agree.
And that's for a bomber, not like a pounder can or anything.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's definitely worth that. I'm glad you shared it with me.
But in the back of your mind, ever since we started this segment here, are you not worried that there's like two or three Mormons standing out in the front yard just waiting?
With brick bats and shit. They're going to kick in your door.
I'm sorry.
Hey, and you know what? They're not even going to worry about us going to hell, because I had a buddy that was Mormon growing up, and he told me they baptize people after they're dead if they weren't baptized in the Mormon church before they died.
Can it be in this beer?
We need to take a trip to Salt Lake City, just because I want to know what the brewery vibe is there, because there's several there.
Oh, I know.
I've seen a lot of stuff about like Salt Lake City and Utah beer, so I would love to see like if they've had like some loggerhead issues with zoning boards and things like that.
And I want to drink this polygamy porter, and I want to drink it with several women.
Right. Yeah. Like I think you should have at least one on each arm.
Yeah, man.
While doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife wants to be a polygamist. Not like I can have two wives. She wants a second husband. And I'm fine with that, as long as only one of us has to work.
Well, that works out good, because you don't work.
Right. Not hard.
No.
But this also, though, doesn't it remind you like you just gave someone like this huge French kiss who was drinking a coffee and smoking a cigarette while sucking on a Hershey Kiss?
I can really see that. It does have a smokiness to it.
Right. That's where I would put this. Nothing like I'm not downing anyone who does that. If that's the way you enjoy your morning, go at it. But that's where I'm seeing this beer. And I'm not saying I've done a lot of that.
Well, to be clear, though, because there's a definite difference here. Smoked the cigarette, then took a drink of coffee, then you kissed him. Not took a drink of coffee, smoked a cigarette, then you kissed him.
Right. There is an order to it.
Yes. Yes.
But and it's not that there's much smokiness to the beer. It reminds me of that lingering taste, maybe the nicotine afterward.
Right. Right.
I mean, any port in a storm, though.
That's right.
So that's not bad at all. But this has been John and Steve on the Sluggard Podcast. If you have any comments for us, you can reach us at our Facebook page, or you can reach us at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggardpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers.